Let's begin singing from hymn 297. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Do we have any greetings? I know I'm bringing them from Brunswick Hills, where we were last week, our family, for a baptism of our nephew Daniel, which was a beautiful event. Any other greetings?
Greetings from Betty and Thad Lumpson.
Betty and Thad Lumpson, thank you.
I'm Mary Lou and Paul
Mania. Nice. Thank you.
And it's 12 degrees up there.
Oh, good. 12 degrees. You should move back to Jersey.
They're enjoying their great pendulum.
Mary Lou and Johnny send greetings, and it's very cold by then. Yes. Thank you for Mike B's not feeling well. Nice. Greetings from Rose as well. Very sweet, yes. So sweet to hear from her. And I spoke with Mike Smith yesterday for a while. His back is still not well. He's trying to see a physician who'll take his insurance, which is a problem. He's thinking hopefully maybe next Sunday he can join us. And then if not, hopefully we'll still see him if we carol at his place next Sunday, which I'll discuss in a second. Any other greetings?
Greetings from Monica and Richard. Everyone to go see them.
Thank you. Very nice. They're well?
Yeah.
Cold there too, I bet. Not as bad, though. Yeah. Okay, so today we'll have lunch and afternoon song service. We'll be singing Christmas carols for Kathy. For Jesus, really, not for Kathy.
Donation.
Yeah, good point. I don't have that down. End of the year donations should be in today for foreign missionaries, but she'll work it out next week if you don't have it ready today. The coat drive is continuing, and I think as of today, collected over 500 coats, which is absolutely amazing and a really...
Yeah.
Every year has been increased. Every year has gotten larger. So it's a great outreach that we're doing and great for the people who will receive the coats, too. We should pray for them. Upcoming dates, on Wednesday we'll have a Bible study here at church and on Zoom. It might be the last one for this series that we're doing at Holiness. Next Sunday we'll have morning service and lunch. And then we plan to go caroling at Mike Smith's place. maybe a local nursing home, and hopefully Uncle Carl's as well, if we can squeeze all those in. Christmas Day, we'll have a 10 a.m. service in person and on Zoom, and we're not scheduled to have anything for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. We're making a special request, speaking of donations, to our benevolence fund to assist Brother Mike Smith in paying off the van that he purchased. So those can be earmarked for Mike or for the benevolence fund to assist with that. Scott and Michelle Toth of Hope Ministries sent a Christmas newsletter, which I have here, and may already be up, or we'll put it up. And also we have a nice Christmas little postcard from CLM. And our quarterly mission focus is still Argentinian missions. And I think that's all I have. Oh.
Maybe we should start the card ministry this week. I think I have some here, but if anybody has Christmas cards that they want to bring in as well, that would be awesome. And we should start filling them and close out today. So if you have anybody in mind, maybe we can start forming a list.
Excellent idea. Christmas cards, it's already getting late for that, but yes, we should start filling this out for, and whoever we think they should go to, Rose and many others, I'm sure. Anything else to announce? If not, please keep Brother Harry in your prayer for this morning's service, and let's sing from hymn number 1.
Good morning. That is a beautiful hymn of just honor and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we probably should sing it more often. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts that we are in this place where we can open your word, we can read it, and we can see what we are to do with our lives. And it tells us who you are, who your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, and who the Holy Spirit is, the triune God. We can't fully understand that, but we believe it because it's in your word. We pray for everyone that's here today and those on Zoom that as we would look into this word, that we would all receive a blessing from you. Not from me, but from you. You are the one with the power. You are the one that can provide all that we need. And that's where we have to go. We thank you again for your love and for your Son. And we pray this all in his name. Amen. I'd like to read just two verses in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Last night, Kitchener Church had their Messiah program. I forgot, so I didn't watch it when it was happening. But then I thought about it afterwards, so I went back, and I knew I was going to have a service on this verse 6, so I scanned through the whole program, and I couldn't find it. I think they only sing sections of the whole program, so I don't think they had it, but by all means, go listen to it if you didn't watch it. It was phenomenal. Okay. I'm going to focus on verse 6. So who is Isaiah? Well, first of all, the Bible has very little information about Isaiah. Really, it's only what he writes about himself in this book. He was the son of Amoz. That's all we know about his ancestry. But he received revelation during the reigns of Uzzah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So he was basically a prophet to the southern kingdom. And during his prophetic life, the northern kingdom actually was captured and fell. And the southern kingdom was threatened. He prophesied about 740 BC to 680 BC, so roughly 700 years before Jesus. And if you have time, go back and read Isaiah 6, and it tells you how the Lord called him to become a prophet. The book of Isaiah contains dozens of prophecies about Jesus, from his virgin birth to his life, to his death, to his coming again. And he didn't know that the words that he was writing down, that the Lord gave him, were going to be fulfilled 700 years later, and even some, because they're in the future, in terms of the revelation, those haven't been fulfilled yet, but we know that they will. Interestingly, the name Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. And the name Jesus, in the Old Testament, Joshua, means Yahweh saves. So there are very similar meanings in all those names. So, verse 6 again. He and his name shall be called. What are you called? We all have a given name that our parents gave us. I have a little story, if I remember it right. There was a Hispanic couple who went to a hospital. They knew no English, and they gave birth to a little baby girl. And, you know, the nurses are trying to talk to them and, you know, fill out the paperwork. And, you know, so they had the last name. What's the first name? And they didn't understand. So the nurse put down female. And then, you know, the parents look as though, Famali. That was the daughter's name, Famali. So, not what they thought it was going to be, but anyway. It was just a cute little story. You may be named after an ancestor, after someone in the Bible, or even after a famous person. Some names over the years are rarely used because they have a negative connotation. Judas. I don't think I've ever heard of a child named Judas. Or Hitler. I think I've heard that, and people were upset that they named their child Hitler. But other names are used a lot. I saw a list of famous names over the last 100 years. James and Michael were the top two names of the boys, and I think Mary and Jennifer were top three or four names for the girls. Okay, but you may also be called by the position that you have or what you do. So teacher, doctor to be, coach, elder, pastor, mom, dad, grandma, uncle, aunt, etc. In Acts 11:26, it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's where that word came from, when they were called that in Antioch. And it's not really clear, but it almost seems that when they were given that name, it was like almost like a derogatory name initially. But obviously it has taken on better meaning over the years. Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful. Is his name, is Jesus' name, wonderful to you and me? Do we consistently show it the respect it deserves? Some people use the name of Jesus as an exclamation or a curse word. About 10 days ago, I was on a phone with a company, and they were trying to have me do business with them, quote unquote. And during that conversation, he used a few colorful words, which I was not appreciating it. But then he also said Jesus Christ in a derogatory way. And I was hurt inside because of it. I didn't say anything during the phone call. It was a Thursday. So on Thursday night, Friday, I was praying about what should I do. So then I eventually wrote him an email on Friday night and basically said, you're talking, when you use the name of Jesus, he is the Son of God to many people, specifically to me, and you need to be thinking about who you're talking to and not just throw this name out as an exclamation or in a derogatory way. He did not respond to me via email, but he's called me twice, and both times I was busy doing something, so I didn't take the call. So I'm not sure what he was going to say when he calls, and hopefully he'll call again, or I'll call him next week. But we need to be careful how we use the name of Jesus. I remember there were some people in church who used to say OMG a lot. Oh my God. But not in a, oh my God. More like an exclamation. Again, I think we have to be careful that we don't misuse the name of Jesus. It says, his name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus was wonderful in his birth. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this was fulfilled in Matthew 1:22-23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. No other person that ever lived or that is born in the future can ever claim this. It's unique to Jesus Christ. Jesus was wonderful in his life. He was without sin. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. No other person that ever lived or is born in the future can claim they are sinless. Well, they might claim it, but we know it's not true. Jesus knows the temptations that we face every day. He is a prayer away. Jesus was wonderful in his death. He shed his blood for my sin, for your sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's all through grace that that's possible. As we say, the acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense is grace. It makes no earthly sense that the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sin. It only makes heavenly sense. And no person that ever lived or is born in the future can claim that their death and shed blood will take away the sins of others. Jesus is wonderful in his reign in heaven. Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7, as he was being stoned to death, said, but Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. In Romans 8:34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. How wonderful it is that Jesus is there by God, interceding for us. In Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And in my mind, I can hear in the Messiah them singing that those words. No person that ever lived or is born in the future can claim that their reign will supersede Jesus' reign. The Antichrist will try to, but we know he won't succeed. And as I was thinking of this verse, and I thought of all the different songs and hymns that have talked about the wonderful name of Jesus. And this is one. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. And I took this poster that was in the back over there and put it up here now, here, and it lists just some of the names of Jesus in the scriptures. obviously wonderful counsel, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Man of Suffering, Son of the Most High, Holy and Righteous One, Anointed One, Living Water, True Vine, Servant, Son of God, Mediator, Savior, Lamb of God, Carpenter, Son, Light of the World, Messiah, the Christ, etc. I think almost 200 names are in the scriptures of who Jesus is. And it is all wonderful. Going on in verse 6, His name shall be called Counselor. What is the purpose of a counselor? They will provide guidance and instruction to make good decisions on how to live our lives. If you remember the event in the Old Testament, how King Rehoboam came into power after Solomon passed away, and he wanted to know how he should lead his kingdom. And the people came together and asked him to be nice to us, to be kind to us. So King Rehoboam went to the old wise counselors from his father. And they told him, yes, be kind to them and don't be harsh to them. And then he went to his peers, the young advisors that he had. And they counseled, no, don't do that. Be harsh. Be strong. Be stern. What did Rehoboam do? He listened to the counsel of his peers. And then, as a result, Israel was divided. The ten tribes of the north picked Jeroboam to be their king, while the two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin, Rehoboam was only the king of them. He took the wrong counsel, and there were significant implications because of that. To whom did Jesus go for counsel? Did he go to the Romans, the scribes, the Pharisees, the apostles? No. He went to his Father. We can read dozens of times in the scriptures where Jesus went to his Father and prayed to him. And I'm sure the reason he was doing that is because he was seeking counsel from his Father. And then Jesus offers to give us counsel on how we should live our lives. First of all, we have excellent counsel in His Word. There is significant counsel here in His Word, and we should take advantage of that. And as it was mentioned in Bible class, in order to take advantage of that, we need to know the Word. That means to me we need to be in the Word. We have an excellent counsel in prayer when we just pour out our hearts to God to say, this is what's happening in my life. Not that He needs to hear us say that. It's more for us to hear ourselves say that, because God knows everything that's happening in our lives. And we also have an excellent counsel in the Holy Spirit that lives within all believers. May we listen to that Holy Spirit. Going on in verse 6, His name shall be called the Mighty God. John 1:1-3 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. These verses tell us Jesus is the Word and Jesus is God. And it also tells us Jesus participated in creation. And Colossians 1:16 adds, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." The Trinity is comprised of three persons, the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I don't fully understand that, but the Scriptures teach it. Doesn't use the word Trinity, but it constantly talks about the three being one. It also mentions in this verse is a mighty God. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Jesus is omnipotent. Again, how the Trinity works, three persons in one, don't fully understand that, but I believe it because the Scriptures teach it. It says, "And he shall be called the Everlasting Father." Everlasting means from eternity past to eternity future. And in the verses that we've just read before, it shows that Jesus was there at creation. So he was there from the beginning, and he will reign forever. We read that too. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." And Jesus said in John 10, "I and the Father are one." And if we read the text of there, the Jews wanted to stone Jesus because it was blasphemy to make himself equal with the Father. And in the high priestly prayer, Jesus said in John 17, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." There's one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. If you remember when Nathan came to David and showed David that he had sinned with Bathsheba and with Uriah, and David was then devastated. And he ended up writing Psalm 51. David knew that he was guilty, and he knew his peace with God was broken. And he longed for restoration for that relationship. And that's what Psalm 51 is all about. So by all means, please read that. And when David then, you can see that in Psalm 51, came to his senses, just like the prodigal son did when he came to his senses, and they realized that they needed to come broken before the Father to reestablish that relationship and tend to reestablish that peace. We long for peace also. A restoration of our relationship with our Father in heaven. And Jesus told his disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When we have the peace of Jesus ruling in our hearts, then we should not be troubled and we should not be in fear. We are troubled and fearful when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Think about Peter. Jesus coming, walking on the water, and Jesus says, "Come out to me." And Peter stepped out of the boat, walking on the water. But what does the Scripture say? When he saw the wind and the waves. The implication is he was no longer looking at Jesus. He saw his surrounding, his circumstances. And then he began to sink. And he reached out his hand, and Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him up. We need to be in that relationship with Jesus on a continual basis so that we are not troubled or in fear, and so that we can have that peace that he offers. In order to have peace, we need to repent, turn from our sin, and have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who will take away our sin. As it says in Psalm 103, our sin will be as far as the east is from the west. Or as it says in Micah, our sins will be buried into the depths of the sea. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We may not have peace with some people. That's the reality of living in this world. But we dare not use that verse as an excuse to not be peaceable to others. We always need to be peaceable. Whether a person is peaceable to us, that's their responsibility. But we should never be non-peaceable to others. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Christmas is in 10 days. May we remember the reason for the season, Jesus' birth. And may we remember, be reminded of all the names of Jesus. I'd like to read one more song, and then we'll have a closing song. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness we find you. You find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Our hearts always hunger for. Let's sing out of hymn 299 in the Apostolic Christian Hymnal, all three verses. 299, all three verses.
Thank you.
There's so many prophecies in Scripture. I saw a graph the other day, or a chart. It was a cool thing. It had all the books of the Bible, and then had arches from where they meet in from one text to another text of the Bible. It was a cool-looking chart. I just saw it from a distance. I'd like to look at it close up. But the prophecies of Jesus, there's so many. There's so many. And this is one of the most beautiful, beautiful ones that speaks of who he is as wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We are so incredibly blessed to have the knowledge of who he is, and then to have that and permeate our hearts so that we understand the depth of his love for us, of what he's done for us, and who he is. The song that Harry read, that last one, said, the last line says, our hearts always hunger for. And that is what we need to realize, that the hungering, because each of us wants something and desires something, but the desire of our heart, the truly fulfilling desire of our heart, is Jesus alone. Our hearts always hunger for. Don't think that it's anything else. It's Jesus alone that will supply and meet the need of our hearts. And when that happens, then we are fully his. And we just are thankful for this Christmas season that points to his birth, but really his whole life, his death, his resurrection is what it's all about and what our hearts really hunger for. Let's arise for a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of your word. We thank you for the prophecies of Jesus. We thank you for the clear prophecies that say, unto us a child is born. And that child was born in Bethlehem. And he is the Prince of Peace. And he is the mighty God, Lord. And he is the one who dwells with us now here in our midst via the Holy Spirit, the three in one, the Godhead. We worship and praise you, Father. We worship and praise you, Son. We worship and praise you, Holy Spirit. And thank you for your guidance in our lives. Thank you, Savior, for your redemption for us. Thank you, Father, for adopting us into your family. Thank you for the love you shower upon us, Lord. The gift of life. The gift of hope. The gift of peace. We worship and praise you and thank you, and pray that our hearts would be moved by it and melded by it and molded into whatever form you would have us be, to be servants of yours, to be the hands and feet of yours, that we could share the love that you have given to us, to those around us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Spirit. We praise you now and thank you for your presence with us in our midst. Thank you for the clarification of your gospel message, of your truth that is pointed right from the Old Testament, right to the heart of the New Testament and Jesus' walk and his teachings. Thank you for loving us. We pray a blessing on each one that has come. Pray that we would be mindful of this Christmas spirit, the Spirit of God's love showered upon us by sending his Son. The miracle of that. May it be magnified in our hearts and our minds, in our thoughts, and in our sharing with those around us. This is the season to let people know why it is the season. It is the season for Christmas, for celebrating Christ coming. We thank you now for all your blessings. We pray a blessing on our lunchtime as well, that you would bless the food in the hands that are prepared. Thank you for providing for body, soul, and spirit. We honor and glorify your name and lift it on high because you are worthy. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.